Hey, greetings everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank God that we can continue our study on the life of Christ, and now we are already on the 44th lesson on the life of Christ. And before we continue on with today's message, I have two clarifications for the previous messages that I would like to make. Firstly, the first clarification has to do with what we studied in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, right, concerning what we call the unpardonable sin. And I realized that I was not very accurate in the way that I explained it. And so I would like just to explain it again, right, so that we can have some clarity with regard to what the unpardonable sin is. Right, so the unpardonable sin, right, well, we know that there is no such sin in the world that God will never forgive, right, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, but the problem with the Pharisees in the context was that they had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? They say that Jesus is of the devil. Right? He cast out demons by the power of the devil. And so the point that the Lord Jesus Christ was making here, right, we see in verse 31, right, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, right, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Right? And what that means is that when a person blasphemes against God, and how does he blaspheme against the Holy Ghost in this case? By the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So the sin of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, what that results in is that he will never be pardoned of any sin that he goes to God for. Right? Because there's no other way of salvation other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way of the forgiveness of sin except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if the Lord Jesus Christ is rejected, well then, in that sense, all sins that you commit are, in the sense, unforgivable, unpardonable, right? Because you cannot go to the Lord, right? Or go to God for forgiveness apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And what the Lord means when he says in verse 32, right? And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. And whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Right? What this means is that, right, the sins, the blasphemies that we speak against the Son of Man. Now here, the idea is not so much the blasphemies that we may speak against Christ, right, as the Son of Man. Right, but the idea here is that the blasphemies, the sins that we commit against our fellow men. Right, so the sins that we commit against fellow men, well, we can forgive one another. Right, if I've offended you, right, you can forgive me for offending you, and that sin that I've committed against you is resolved. Right, but the sins that I commit against God, right, and that's the second part, right, the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, it cannot be forgiven. Okay, so that's how we understand the so-called unpardonable sin. Right? So the unpardonable sin is the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way of the means for your sins to be forgiven, such that every sin that you commit, right, it cannot be forgiven, right? Because you need the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Okay, so that is the first clarification. So I hope that that makes it a bit clearer. Now, the second clarification, or the second aspect that I also wanted to further emphasize, is when we were speaking about the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Remember, of which generation are you? Are you of the godly generation, or are you of the sinful, rebellious generation of this world? Right? And I just want to add that, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, who is my brethren? Right? And these are my brethren, those who will obey and believe in what I say and obey what I say. And what the Lord Jesus Christ here is saying is not that he doesn't care for his brethren, right? He doesn't care for his family members, and only the ones that he cares for is those who are his followers, those who believe in him. Right? So yes, the focus of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said this was that, make sure that you are of that godly generation, and make sure that you are truly of Christ, that you are of the family of God, making sure that you have belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? But the Lord is not saying that don't care about your earthly brethren, right? Because elsewhere the Lord will teach, right, the importance of, for example, honoring our parents, right? His rebuke of how the Pharisees would steal the money that was supposedly to be given to aged parents, right? And the Lord teaches elsewhere the importance of caring for family. Okay, so but in this case, right, in this context, in verses 46 to 50 of Matthew chapter 12, right, the focus is on how we must truly be of the family of God. Okay, so that's just a further explanation from the last time we considered that. Okay, and now we want to come to Matthew chapter 13. I would like us to focus on and think about is first the purpose of parables, right? Because this situation or this context would begin a whole series of parables that the Lord Jesus Christ will give, right? The parable of the sower being the first parable that Jesus gave. And when we think about parables, right, before we want to consider each of these parables, we've gotten here was the parable of the sower. And at the end of the parable, right, the disciples asked him in verse 10, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And so before we talk about the parable of the sower, we want to first look at verses 10 to 13. Yeah, because from verses 10 to 17. Right, because from verses 10 to 17, what it reveals to us is the purpose of parables. Yeah, and so having studied that, what the purpose of parables is, then we will go into the parable of the sower proper. Okay, so that will be the two parts of today's sermon. Okay, so first, what is the purpose of parables? Right, which was the question that the disciples came and asked the Lord Jesus Christ. Why speakest thou in parables? Right, we know that parables, right, if we put it very simply, they are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. Right? But parables are really illustrations. Right? Illustrations that the Lord Jesus Christ gave as he taught the people. Right? But these illustrations are also not exactly the same as how we would use illustrations in our time. Right, you know, when we have a sermon, right, or when you have a lesson, right, sometimes illustrations will be given, right, to help make a point even clearer. Right, to help help you to understand this point better. Right, and that would be the purpose of an illustration. Right, but in the case of a parable, right, a parable does not just help to illustrate a point. And because what the Lord Jesus Christ will explain is that the parable serves a dual purpose. Right, there are two purposes of the parable. It serves to reveal, yes, like an illustration, but it also serves to conceal. Right, and that is what the Lord Jesus Christ answered in verse 11. Right, he answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. And therefore I speak to them in parables." And so the Lord Jesus Christ gives this distinction, right, two categories of people. The first category, those who receive the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, right, and to these, and of course these would be those who are believing, right, those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, right, those who are living in light of what his word says, these who are true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they hear parables, what it serves to do is that it reveals unto them the mysteries of the kingdom. Right? And the idea of a mystery is something that is once upon a time hidden, but now revealed. And so this is one of the purpose of the parable. A parable is to help believers to know more about the kingdom of heaven, to have a greater insight to the kingdom of heaven. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ continues to say that for this group of believers, they are those who hath, right? So whosoever hath, to him shall be given and he shall have more abundance. And so what did these believers have? Well, I believe here, these believers had faith. And for these believers, these people who have been following the Lord Jesus Christ truly from their hearts, the disciples included, whereby they have now exercised their faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have this living faith, Now, when more is given to them, in the case of a parable, when a parable is given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ, what it serves to do then is, right, the Bible says, he shall have more abundance. Right? So whosoever has, to him shall be given and shall have more abundance. Right? So the parable, when it's given to a true believer, it will help him to abound in his spiritual life. Right? It will help him abound in his obedience. It will help him abound in his fruits. Right? And that is the purpose of a parable to the first group, right? To those who have, or to those who are true believers. Right? But at the same time, when the parable is given to all, right, the second group that is concerned, of course, will be the group of the unbelievers. Right? And the Lord Jesus Christ explains that this group of the unbelievers, in verse 11, to them it is not given. Right? So when the parable is declared by the Lord Jesus Christ, and the purpose of the parable is to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to believers, when the unbeliever hears the exact same parable, this revelation is not given to them. Right? Why is it the case? Why is it that two people can hear the exact same message, the exact same parable, and yet one can receive something from it, one can understand it, and the other cannot? Well, the Lord goes on to explain in verse 12, but whosoever, the second part, hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he had. And of course, this is the second category, the unbelievers. They have not. What do they not have? They do not have a genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not have this belief or this trust in who the Lord Jesus Christ says he is. And therefore, when the parable is given to them, because of their heart of unbelief, even though the same parable is declared to them, they will not be able to understand it. They will not receive it. Even that which has been declared to them will be taken away from them. The opportunity in that moment, which they had to receive the parable, to believe and to obey the Lord, or even that will be taken away from them. And so that is the two categories of people and the two purposes of the parable. Same parable, same words declared, but yet it has a twofold purpose. Right? On the one hand, for those who are believers, it will help to review, it will help to elucidate, make clearer the doctrines, the teachings of Christ. And at the same time, for those who are unbelievers, it will conceal the truth even further because of their heart of unbelief. Of course, the Bible also tells us that when we are believers, right, when we have trusted in Christ, the Holy Spirit now indwells us. Right, the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ has been given to us. And we have been told in Scripture that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And so the only one that can understand truly these truths contained in the parable are those who are spiritual, those who have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And those are believers. The unbeliever who is not indwelt by the Holy Spirit cannot understand spiritual things. And that is why even a parable, yes, an earthly story with a heavenly spiritual meaning, the spiritual meaning will be lost to them. Right? They cannot understand it because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Right? And the Lord further explains the state of this second group of people. And in verses 13 to 15, and the Bible says, in verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. And so this second group of people, they are described by the Lord Jesus Christ as spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. Right? They have eyes. They can see with their physical eyes, but yet they cannot see. They have ears. They can hear. They can hear the message of the parable. They can hear the words coming out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. but yet they cannot hear. They cannot understand. They cannot perceive. They cannot understand what the Lord Jesus Christ means and says when he shares this parable with them. And that was the problem of these people. And what is the reason why they see and yet do not see? Why they hear and yet do not hear? Well, it was the problem of the heart. And that is why in verse 15, the Lord says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross." And the idea of waxed gross means that it is thickened. Right? There's a thick layer of something surrounding the heart. Right? And a thick heart. In fact, there is a condition, a medical condition, when a person's heart muscle, right, is too large, right, too big, right? When I was in army, right, because of our medical, because we had to go to army, we had to go through medical tests and screening, right, and for myself, right, I was put under PES C, right? PES C is medically unfit, right, because of some of my conditions. Well, in my platoon, right, all of us were PES C or more, right, and some of them, they had this condition, right, that their heart muscles were too thickened. Right, and why is that dangerous? Well, because it can cause a heart attack. Right? If the heart muscle is too thick, right, it cannot pump as efficiently, right, then it can fail. Right, and so, this is not the physical heart that is thickened, right, that can cause physical harm. Right, but the idea here, when the heart is waxed gross, it is thickened, and because it is thickened, it is no more malleable, right, it's no more soft, it is no longer receptive, but it is hardened. It is a heart that has been hardened against the Lord, against His Word, against the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that was the problem. What made them spiritually blind and spiritually deaf? It was the hardness of their heart. It was because they refused to believe in what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And that is why they could not understand, right? The Bible goes on to say, and their ears are dull of hearing, right? It's very difficult for them to hear. And their eyes, they have closed. Again, you see, this is something that is willful. Right? They close their own eyes. Right? They do not want to hear, right, because of the hardness of their heart. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. So that was the problem of the people. In fact, this is the quotation from the book of Isaiah. Right, in Isaiah chapter 6. When God called Isaiah to the ministry, right, we all know the "Here am I, send me," right? So when the Lord Jesus Christ says, or when God the Father said to Isaiah, "Who will go for us? Whom shall I send?" Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And what did the Lord say next to him? "Go and tell these people." And who are these people? These people, that he will go on to explain, are people who hear and yet not hear. Like see and yet not see. They cannot understand. Like they will not repent. Like their hearts are hardened. And this was the people that Isaiah had to minister to, being called of God. And this was the same situation in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself being the prophet of God and having to face a people that had their hearts hardened, right? Just like in the time of Isaiah. And all this, why cannot they understand the parables of Christ? It was because of their hardened heart. And they were hardened in their ways. They refused to change. Right? They refused to heed. They were proud. They had hardened their hearts against the Lord. And so that was their problem. They were spiritually blind and deaf. And the parables serve that purpose to expose spiritual blindness and deafness. So much so that when a parable is preached, when an unbeliever, because of the hardness of his heart, cannot understand the parable, what will eventually happen is that he will leave. Because he cannot understand what Christ is saying. Christ is telling all these stories and he cannot understand what he means. And so eventually they will leave him, right? Just as they did in other portions of scripture that show us such a case. For example, when the Lord Jesus Christ told them that you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, the people could not understand. Why? Because they were spiritually blinded and deaf. And because they had hardened their heart. And so eventually, John 6:66, they all left him. So that was the case of how the words of Christ, and specifically in parables,
it serves that function to expose the spiritual blindness and deafness of the unbelievers. But at the same time, just as the parable serves to expose, the parables also serve to bless. Right, so parables have the purpose of revealing and concealing. Right, parables also have the purpose of exposing and at the same time blessing. Right, so for those to whom it has been concealed, it exposes them. For those to whom it has been revealed, it blesses them. Right, and that is where verse 17 comes in. And verse 16 and 17. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was commending his disciples. And because his disciples, they have spiritual sight, they have spiritual hearing. They could hear and understand and see what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about. Why? Because they did not have a hardened heart. They did not have a heart that was waxed gross. They had a tender heart, a heart that was receptive, believing. And that heart enabled them to see and to hear. And the Lord Jesus Christ says that blessed are ye. Right? This is a blessed thing. Because this is, firstly, it is not of your own self that you are able to understand and to know, but it is all of God. And this brings great blessing and happiness and joy. Why? Verse 17. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And so in this case, the Lord Jesus Christ focuses back on physical sight and hearing. And there were many prophets of old. Yes, they had the spiritual sight. They had the spiritual hearing. And they had the faith to anticipate, to look forward in hope to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And but for the believers in this case, the disciples, not only did they have the spiritual sight and the spiritual hearing, but now they had the privilege physically to see the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear Him. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said that they were blessed. Right? Because with both their physical and their spiritual eyes, they could see. Both their physical hearing and their spiritual hearing, they could hear and they could understand. And so the Lord says that you are greatly blessed. Many prophets of old, righteous men, they were all anticipating and looking forward to the time that the Lord Jesus Christ will come and to hear His teachings. But now, you have the privilege of doing so. And so this is the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in parables. It serves to reveal to the believers, to conceal from the unbelievers. It serves to bless the believers with the knowledge of God's word. And at the same time, it serves to expose the unbelievers in their sin. And so having understood then what a parable is and the purpose of a parable, now we come to the parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower is one of the rare parables that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself explained for us. And the explanation is given to us right, from verses 18 to 23. Right, the parable is given to us from verse 3 to 9. Okay, so verse 3 to 9 is the parable the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. Right, and in chronology, the disciples then asked Him, right, why do you speak in parables? And Jesus explained to them. Right, and then at the end, right, the Lord Jesus Christ gave the explanation of the parable. Okay, and when we talk about the parable of the sower, the main theme of the parable of the sower is the question, what kind of heart do you have when you hear God's word? What kind of heart do you have when you hear God's word? Now, when you think about this, right, this is not too far from what the Lord Jesus Christ explained, isn't it? Right, remember the hardness of the heart of those who are unbelieving? Well, the Lord uses this parable to explain the different kinds of hearts by which we may have as we hear God's word. And of course, primarily, this is applicable first unto salvation. Right? That means when the gospel message is preached, what kind of heart do you have as you receive the gospel? Right? That was the issue in those days. Right? That was the issue when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke this parable. And that's why there were those who could not understand. But at the same time, by extension, it still applies
in terms of what kind of heart we have as we hear God's word. Yes, not directly pertaining to our salvation, right, but in any message, in any word of God that we hear, what is our heart's attitude? And that is what we want to consider in the parable of the sower. And so as we consider this parable, let us examine our hearts. There will be four kinds of hearts that we would consider. And which heart do you have as you heed God's word, as you listen to God's word? And just a little bit of a background, right, before we go into the parable proper. Right, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke this parable, right, in verse 3, he said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Yeah, and so the Lord uses an agricultural illustration or parable to describe the four kinds of hearts. And in those days, right, how does a sower sow the seed? Right, there are many different types or many different ways in which we can sow seed. And I think maybe the sowing that you're most familiar with, it would be you dig a hole in the ground, you put one seed in the hole, and then you cover up the hole, right? Yes, that's one kind of sowing. Right? But in this case, right, the sowing that is described here is not that kind of sowing, right? So you can sow by opening the ground, right, put one seed inside and then close up the ground. Right? That's one way you can sow. Right? But in this case, this sowing is a scattering of the seed. Right? I'm not sure whether you know of how, you know, grass and lawns and even golf courses are made. Right? How do they scatter the seed such that the grass can grow? Right? They don't go one by one and plant one seed, one seed, one seed, one seed like that, and then each blade of grass grows up like that. No. Right? How they do it is that they have a machine, right, that scatters the seed. Right? So you just push and then the seed scatters all around. And that is the idea here. Of course, in those days, no machines. Right? So the sower will go forth, I have a bag of seeds, I grab a handful of seeds and then throws it around the ground. And of course, he has a lot that has been prepared. Right? He has dug the ground. Right? He has made sure that the ground is soft enough to receive the seed. And then he would scatter the seed. Right? But even as he scatters the seed, well, not every single seed will end up in the ground that he intended. Right? And so that is where this picture comes in. Right? Because the Lord will describe four types of grounds that the seeds fell onto. And each of these four grounds will describe a particular kind of heart by which we receive God's word. Yeah, and so, which ground are you? Which heart do you have? Right, that is the question. And so the first ground, the Bible tells us in verse 4, "And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them." And the first kind of heart that the Bible speaks of is a hardened heart. A hardened heart. Now, the type of ground that is mentioned here, the wayside ground, and you may wonder, right, why is the seed falling on the wayside? Now, isn't it very clear if in front of him is the whole field, right, and he scatters, why should the seed fall on the wayside? Well, it is most probable, right, that in those days, the fields would be divided, right, and segmented. And how they would be divided is that there will be footpaths, right, dividing each field. Right? Because if you have a whole large piece of land, right, you can't possibly go and sow in that land because you'll be stepping into the good ground. Right? You'll be stepping into the mushy ground that has been prepared to receive the soil. And so in order for you to walk through the length of the field, right, you need pathways and walkways. And so this is what we also saw when we were in Cambodia. And so in Cambodia, right, they had these salt fields, or they also had these paddy fields. Right, so in the salt fields, right, what they would do is they use the land, right, to put salt water there and allow the salt to dry up. Right, and then allow the salt water to dry. Right, so the water evaporates and what is left behind is the salt. And so how they walk through is that there will be paths. Right, they have to walk around the land, right? Same also for paddy fields, right? They have to walk around the perimeter of the paddy field. And so it is like this. And the wayside ground would be that footpath. And then you can imagine that footpath is being used by the farmer, and being used by the farmer is being hard packed, and it would not be penetrable, right? The seed cannot penetrate into the ground, right? And that is the nature of the wayside ground. Right? The wayside is a road that is well traveled, that is very hard packed. And the Bible tells us that the result of that is that the birds come along, right? Since the seed doesn't go into the ground, it just hovers and stays on top of the ground. And the birds come and eat the seed. Right? Take the seed away. And what is the meaning of this first ground? Right? We go to what the Lord Jesus Christ explains in verses 18 and 19. Right? The Bible says here, "Ye therefore, the parable of the sower, when anyone heareth the word of God, or heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." So what kind of heart is the Bible speaking of when it speaks of the wayside ground? Firstly, we must understand that this person with this hardened ground, right, this hardened heart, is a person that hears the word of the kingdom. In other words, we are not talking about a person who has never heard of God's word. Right? We are not talking about a person who did not have the privilege to hear the gospel or to hear any part of God's word. Right? But what we are speaking of here is a person who had the privilege and the opportunity to hear God's word. But now, having heard God's word, and the seed there would be the word of God or the word of the kingdom as the Lord Jesus Christ describes here, when that seed lands on this ground, which is his heart, the seed remains just atop that ground. It doesn't sink into this person's heart. Right? And as a result, the Bible tells us that the evil one, the wicked one, Satan, comes and takes the word away. And what that means is that now the opportunity for him, which he had when he heard the word of God, when the seed was received, he had the opportunity to plant the seed, to put the seed in his heart and allow the seed to grow. But instead, he ignores it. Instead, he rebels against it. Instead, he rejects it. And as a result, the seed is taken away from him. And that is a description of an unbeliever's heart, a heart that has been hardened. And why? Remember the Bible says, right? He says, the Lord Jesus Christ says here that he hears the words of the kingdom and he understandeth it not. An idea of understand means to bring it together. Right? And the idea here is that he cannot bring it together in his mind. And he cannot bring it together in his heart. What does the Lord Jesus Christ mean? And as we said earlier, what is the reason why he cannot understand? It's because he doesn't believe. And he doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't believe in what he is saying. And that is the reason why he cannot understand it. And that is the problem with the first kind of heart. A heart that is hardened doesn't believe in what God's word says. A heart that is hardened does not understand because he does not want to understand. And a heart that is hardened instead wants to hold on to his own ideas, his own sins, his own thoughts. He does not allow the seed of God's word to be planted in his heart. And that is the kind of heart that the Bible speaks of, the hardened heart. And the result of which is that the opportunity for him to receive what God's word says is taken away now. And we see this, how this is true oftentimes when some may come into our midst, unbelievers, they hear God's word, yes, they may still come, but then as they reject the gospel, they come, they hear, then they reject. And then maybe the next gospel meeting, they come, they hear, then they reject. By and by, it comes to a point whereby they will just no longer come. They will just reject it once and for all. Why? Because now, the opportunity for them, yes, in any time of their life, so long as they're still living, they still can repent. They still can remember what the gospel was, the gospel that was preached to them, and turn back and repent. But the moment, at that moment where the gospel is being preached to them, the word is being given, and they reject it,
Well, the opportunity in the moment that they once upon a time had, now is taken away. And they must not think. Such a person must not think that there will always be opportunities in the future. You never know when you will die. You never know when that will be the last straw and the Lord will judicially harden your sinful, wicked heart. Just as did Pharaoh. And so we must be careful. If you are not yet a believer, make sure that you do not have such a heart towards the gospel. Do not have such a heart towards the seed of God's word. A hardened heart is a heart that is rebellious. A hardened heart is a heart that refuses to believe what God's word says. And that's always the convenient excuse, isn't it? I'm sure you're in your interactions with your friends out in the world, right, this is what you experience as well. When we share with them your convictions, or even when you share with them the gospel. And what is one of the most common oppositions that you hear? That is good for you, right? You can believe that, yes, but I don't believe it. No, you can believe that and you live that way, okay, but I don't believe it, right? Or you can tell me that what I'm doing is wrong, but I don't believe it. And then what can you do? How do you know the Bible is true? Right? Yes, you believe the Bible is true, but I don't believe the Bible is true, so why should the Bible bind my heart? Well, that is the most common opposition, right, to the gospel. They do not believe. Right? It's a very convenient excuse to reject the word of God. Because if they did believe, then that means that the word is binding upon their hearts. If they believe that what God says in the Ten Commandments is true, it means that they are sinners. And because they cannot accept the conclusion that they are sinners, they conveniently say that I do not believe it. And that is exactly the people here. I do not understand. I don't understand because I don't want to believe. And that is the first kind of heart. A hardened heart. And so make sure we do not have this kind of a heart. Now, secondly, the second heart that the Bible speaks of from verses 5 to 6 is an uncommitted heart. Or what I call an uncommitted heart. And this is the description of the stony ground. And the Bible says in verse 5, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And so the stony ground is a ground that is filled with stones, and because it is filled with stones, there's not much earth. And so when the seed is sown, it grew up very quickly, right? Because the roots couldn't go deep. And so it sprouts out very quickly. But when the sun rises and scorches, it withers away very quickly. And this is a description of a heart that has not fully committed itself to what God's word says. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ explains in verse 20. In verses 20 and 21. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word of God, and anon with joy received it. And so the similar thing that we see in this second ground with the first ground is that they hear the word of God. So again, it's not someone who has not heard the word of God, but someone who has heard the word of God, and having heard the word of God, what do they do? Anon with joy receiveth it. Now the word anon there means immediately. Right, so in other words, this person who hears the word of God, very enthusiastic, very quickly, immediately, joyously receives the word of God. And so you would say to such a one that is very promising, isn't it? If you have an unbeliever who comes into our midst and then the gospel is shared, and then suddenly this person with joy immediately receives the gospel, you would say that is a very good thing, isn't it? You'll be very joyful. But what happens to this person? The Bible says in verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. And so the Bible says that he has had a beginning. When he hears the word, he receives it with joy. It's something that perks his interest, piques his interest. It is something that he has never heard before. It is something so heavenly, something so unlike he has found in this earth. And so he receives it, but when push comes to shove, when he is tested, when trials and tribulations come, when difficulties come because of the word, when he is tested whether he will truly fulfill and obey and believe what the word says, even at the expense of persecution. Now he's offended, and now he rejects the word. And so that is the description of the second ground. It is a heart that, yes, may very readily receive or even agree to what has been taught. And so you can be here listening to the message and you can say, yes, yes, I agree. Right? Yes, I fully accept what the word of God says. But then when it comes time for you to obey it, when it comes time for you to say whether you will continue to obey it or even at the expense of persecution or difficulties or tribulations, will you still be committed to obey the word of God? Or are you an uncommitted person with an uncommitted heart? And that is the second kind of ground. It is a ground that does not, though appears to be committed to God's word at the beginning, is not truly committed because he just endures for a while, and when difficulties come, he gives up. And so that is the second kind of heart. Do we have such a heart? When we hear God's word, we can say, yes, we agree. We can sign it off on a piece of paper. But the true test comes when you are persecuted, when you have to go through tribulation because of the word. Will you surrender the word for the sake of peace? Or will you now obey the word, even at the expense of your peace? And you will be tested like that in your school. And whether you will forsake the word and follow your friends, forsake the word so that we can be at peace with my friends, or will you now forsake your friends so that you can be at peace with the Lord, so that you can obey the word of God and not let any tribulation, anything, take away the word of God from your heart? Do you have the conviction to say that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? That I cannot live without the word of God. Don't take the word of God away from me. You can take anything away from me, but don't take away the word of God from me. Is that the kind of heart that we have? Or do we have an uncommitted heart? Thirdly, right, the third kind of ground, very quickly. In verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And so this is a thorny ground, a ground that is not cleared of all other plants, but there are some thorns that are growing in the ground. And because the thorns are growing in the ground, it competes with the seed, right, for its nutrients. And so the thorns eventually ends up choking the plants and the seed. And this is a description of a heart that is what I call a distracted heart. Why distracted? Because the Lord Jesus Christ explains in verse 22, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And so what this person does is that, again, same, he hears the word of God, and then he hears the word of God, he now listens to it, he seems to receive it, he seems to begin to live his life in light of the word of God, right, just like the stony ground. But what happens is that as he continues to live his life in light of the word of God, there will be distractions that come along. And the Bible gives us two examples. The cares of the world. The cares would describe the anxieties, right, the burdens of the world. And these burdens, these cares, may not necessarily be sinful in and of themselves. And the cares for family, the cares for survival, right, these cares that are part and parcel of our human lives, well, these cares can very easily choke the word. It can distract us from our obedience to God's word, our receptiveness to God's word. When we allow all these other cares, the cares of schooling, the cares of our future, the cares of all these other things can very easily choke the word if we are not careful. If we have a heart that is divided, if we have a heart that is distracted, if we have a heart
for the things of the world, and at the same time we want the things of God, well, know that no man can serve two masters. And so a heart that is distracted by the cares of the world. And at the same time, there is another distraction, which is the deceitfulness of riches and the pursuit of riches in this world, and how it deceives you to make you think that all is well with your soul when you are facing the wrath, judgment of God to come. And that is the second kind of distraction that can come along. That you know that this is what you ought to do as a believer. You know that this is what you ought to do as what God's word has told you to do. But then now, you have another desire, another pursuit, a pursuit for the things of the world that is deceitful, that will only trick you into hell. And yet, because of that distraction, now you stop following the word of God. And that is the third kind of heart. A heart that is not single, a heart that is divided, a heart that is distracted, a heart that wants the world and also wants God, a heart that wants his cake and eats it too, right? Want to eat it too. And that is the kind of heart that the Bible describes. Do we listen to God's word with such a heart? That in our hearts is not a heart of full surrender. Right? In our hearts we have our pursuits, we have our desires, we have the things that we think and our opinions that we think is right. And at the same time, yes, we hear God's word and we agree and we accept it, and then we try our best to, you know, combine the two and modify and make some compromises. Well, know that this will be the result. Your seed will not survive. Your plant will die, as with the first two types of ground. And so do not hear God's word with such a heart, with a heart that is not fully surrendered, or with a heart that wants to hold back part of yourself, because know that this will be the result. The word will be choked. No man can serve two masters. You either love the one or hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You try to serve God with mammon, you are not serving God. You try to serve mammon with God, you are not serving God. And so that is why the Bible tells us, do not have such a heart. Do not have a distracted heart. Have instead a single heart. And finally, now of course, sorry, before we go further, right, the Bible tells us that in verse 22, right, when this plant grows up, right, it becomes unfruitful. Right? There's no fruit. There's no fruit of obedience, and there's no lasting fruit that pleases the Lord. Right? So that is the result of a heart that is distracted. And finally, the last heart, the last type of heart, in verse 8, right, the Bible describes this ground, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And so the Bible talks about a good ground, right? A ground that has been prepared, a ground that is receptive to the seed, the ground that will now allow the seed to grow, nurture the seed. And this ground is speaking of the good heart, right? In verse 23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, right? So same, he hears God's word. But the difference is that he understandeth it. So why does he understand? Remember, he understands because he believes it. He understands because he truly believes what God's word is saying with all his heart. He's not just agreeing with it in his mind, as with the other types of ground. He is not just consenting and trying to mix it with his own ideas, right? But he understands it for what it truly is because he receives it as from God. He believes in it, he understands it, and as a result, he bears fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Right? And that is the result of having a soft and tender heart. A ground that is prepared is a ground that is tilled. Right? When they till the ground, they break up the hardened parts of the ground. Right? They remove the stones, the huge stones that are found in the ground, so that the ground will be soft and ready to receive the seed. Right? That is the kind of ground that our hearts must be, a tender heart. Right? Like the heart of Josiah, right? Remember. He had a tender heart to seek the Lord, a tender heart that when God says that he will judge, his heart trembled. He did not just say, oh yeah, you know, yes, that's what God's word says, but no, I'm still alive.
Right? Will it really happen? Is that the kind of heart that we have? Or do we truly have a tender heart such that when the Lord says that I will come again to judge the world, do we really tremble, do our ears tingle at that reality? Because it is real. And sometimes we talk about all these things, we are able to draw all the timelines and diagrams, and we feel very contented. But know that just because you can do that doesn't mean that you have believed it. Because a tender heart is a heart that will now be malleable. A heart that will now shift and move according to what the word says. And when the seed is planted in such a heart, it will bring forth fruit. The Lord will be pleased. And your obedience will please the Lord. And others will be able to see your testimony of your Christ-likeness. Right? That is what a good ground is. A heart that is tender. A heart that is ready and willing to receive the seed of God's word, not to change it, and not to reject it, but to receive it as it is, and plant it in our hearts, and allow that to grow. Is that the kind of heart that you have? As you hear God's word, we listen to so much of God's word throughout the week and throughout the year. How much of the word that you have heard has truly sunken into your heart? What type of heart did you have as you hear all these messages? What kind of heart do you have right now as you are hearing this message? If you hear this message and you say that, yes, I agree. I know that there's no different than the stony heart. The stony heart also agrees, but when push comes to shove, when you're tested, will you obey? Well, that is the true test. A good ground who has fully surrendered his heart to the Lord. That kind of a heart of faith and believing in what God's word has said, that kind of a heart is a heart that pleases the Lord, a heart that will bear fruit, a heart that now God will be pleased to use. And so make sure that we have such a heart. Four kinds of hearts, which heart is yours? And make sure that every time before we listen to any message or before we read God's word, pray and ask the Lord to give you such a heart. A heart that is good, a heart that is ready and receptive to hear whatsoever the Lord has to tell us. And to truly believe it. Jesus is coming again. That is a fact. That is a truth. It must mean something in the present. Are you anticipating? Are you truly believing that that is what God says? Or is it just a fact? Yes, a fact. Nonetheless, you can say that, yes, I agree that this is a factual thing that happened. And yet it has no impact on you. And then that's not true faith. And so do you truly believe in what God's word says? And that is the question. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word and for this precious parable. O Father, thou art the only one that knows our hearts. What kind of hearts we have been having as we heed and hear your word. O Father, forgive us for the times that we have rejected thy word. Forgive us for the times that we have sought to mingle thy word with our own opinions and thoughts and ideas. We have been distracted by our own pursuits, therefore failing to obey thy word. Forgive us, O Lord, for the times that we have failed the tests of obedience in our lives. O Father, we pray that thou will grant us a heart of faith, a heart of belief, and a heart of obedience, to allow thy word to sink deep in our hearts, to have tender hearts, to be ready always to obey what thy word says, knowing that what thy word says is true. And Father, we pray that thou will give us all such a heart. So Father, we pray that thou will help us to continue to meditate upon these things, and we pray that thy word will not return unto thee void, that the evil one will not take the seed of thy word away, but that we will truly hide thy word in our hearts so that we will not sin against thee. Pray in us all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.